Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew Spencer, feeling very blessed to join you on this Thanksgiving week as we prepare to give thanks in a very special way together as a people. We'll do that later this week. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. If you're just tuning in, do not let your heart be troubled. Patrick is just fine. He's just enjoying a little time off. I heard Ken Hensley sitting in for him on Friday, and I know that for the next few days I'll be helping out just to give him a little break. You know, that guy works so hard. Everybody needs some time to relax and enjoy their family, spend time strengthening those relationships. So yeah, we'll all remain united in prayer, and I'm sure he'll be back raring to go next week. So phone lines are filling up, so I want to jump back to them right now. Let's start with Lynn, who's calling from Florida. Hello, Lynn. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been going through a very depressing year. My mother died, but I was very stressed and depressed for that. Before that, too, taking care of her. I find myself very alone here. I've lived in this area for a while, but people moved. I've lost friendships. I listen to Relevant Radio when I'm driving in the car. I'm not Catholic, but I'm considering going today to a Catholic church to get some counseling.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hard.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Lynn, let me tell you, I'm so happy that you called. I'm happy because you've called, and now our millions of listeners are going to hear your voice and are going to know that they need to pray for you, right? So that's a great blessing. I'm going to ask all of our listeners to pray for you. These have without a doubt been very difficult years for people. I mean, the experience that people have had, just independent of your own personal loss and grief right now, have been so stressful, right? Because of the upheaval in society and the changes in the world, the uncertainty with what's happening. And I'm sure that's unfortunately the backdrop to your own personal grief and pain, right? I think the first thing that's on my mind, Lynn, is to help you remember that you don't need to carry this cross alone. Jesus didn't carry his cross alone, right? Jesus asked Simon, the authorities had Simon of Cyrene help Jesus carry his cross. And how much more do you and I need to also look to others to help us carry our crosses? So first of all, I'd say I'm really glad you're thinking about stopping into a Catholic church. You don't have to be Catholic to go in and talk to a priest. I don't know what will happen when you go into the church, because the priest might be there, he might not be. He might be busy, he might not be. Go in there confident in the Lord, but also just patient with whether he'll be available or not, right? Because mm-hmm. regardless whether you could talk to a priest, maybe there's another person there that might be able to help you. The other thing I'd mention, Lynn, is after you do find some support from the Catholic Church, don't forget that sometimes we need help from a more professional standpoint, right? What you're going through is extremely difficult, right? The grief of losing someone can create depression, which becomes this really serious spiral in our life that's very hard to break out of, that sometimes we can do just with the help of others, but sometimes we need somebody who knows how to break our thinking process and lead us back to a hopeful experience, right? Finally, I just say, Lynn, keep listening to Relevant Radio, right? I mean, I think my experience of working in this ministry for a long time is that it brings hope, right? It brings challenge. There are difficult things that we're asked to do in our lives of faith, but it all is for leading us to wholeness and to happiness, right?
May I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead.
I'm dealing with a lot of guilt because there's been many times in my life I've disrespected both of my parents, and they're both gone now, and I don't know how to deal with that guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we need God's mercy, right? We need His forgiveness. And I think it's very important to remember, Scripture tells us that God does not want the death of the sinner, but rather that he or she repents and lives, right? God doesn't want you to experience judgment, even if you treated your parents poorly, even if there's a lot of things you should have done differently. That's not the final word on your life, right? God doesn't hold that against us when we approach his merciful love. That's, I think, very important for us to remember and to work to believe, right? Because it does take an act of faith. Guilt can be very overwhelming for us. Guilt can really, really short circuit our trust in God and in his mercy. But that's why it's very important, right, for us to focus on God's mercy and focus and be merciful ourselves, right? So just as you desire God's mercy, well, you work towards being merciful towards others, to not holding their sins against them. And that will help you realize how God's mercy will also abound in your life too. Okay, that's another good thing to bring to that conversation that you have, though, with the priest. Okay, so Lynn, I'm just grateful. I hope you do stop by a Catholic church. As I said, all of our listeners will be praying for you, for your consolation, and for your healing, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, you bet. God bless you. Yeah, friends, you heard me there. Please say a little prayer, a little Hail Mary for Lynn, and for all of those going through grief and depression, who maybe are looking for consolation even in the church. It's helpful for them. Okay, let's go to Colleen, who's calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hello, Colleen. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hi, thanks so much, Father. I have a question about getting birth control. So I will be starting a medicine that I know would be harmful to a child if conceived. And my doctors and I have decided that it's probably the best choice for me to go on this medicine. And I am concerned that while I'm open to having children in marriage, I'm not married yet, but when I am married and have the opportunity to have a child with this man, I'm worried that it's not responsible to have a child or open myself to that possibility while on this medicine. This gets fuzzy though, because then I bring up, is it responsible, which might be more of an internal question, but to then use something like birth control to manage a situation like this. What are your thoughts?
Sure, I'm happy to give you my thoughts, and I'm going to try and keep them. I don't want to pry into your life, and so I'll keep them kind of speaking about the principles, right? And hopefully you can take these principles and apply them to your situation so that we don't have to air the tricky things of your health decisions right now, right? So birth control, artificial birth control, is wrong when it's used as birth control, right? This goes back to moral and theological principles of the purpose of the sexual encounter between husband and wife, that they have to maintain an openness to life and to union with each other, to procreation and to unity. And so therefore, the church has taught, especially definitively since Humanae Vitae, but even prior to that, the church has taught that contraception in this way is intrinsically evil. In fact, it's a very serious matter to use it for contraceptive purposes, because it divorces the openness to life and the openness to procreation of the couple. Now, with that said, a hormonal medication that is used for birth control also can have therapeutic uses. Now, I am not a medical professional. I'm not going to claim any medical advice here. I would be very careful and be very discerning when a medical professional offers hormonal treatment for different conditions. Now, there are some appropriate uses for it. There are also really serious side effects to, say, using the pill, right? There are serious side effects. It suppresses your period. In fact, it doesn't, although there is some bleeding, you're not actually having a true period. There are risk factors in terms of cancer and things like this that come about. It does affect your long-term fertility in case later you want to have children. There are many consequences that I think modern healthcare professionals that just don't care about Catholic Church teaching are just not so interested in getting into. So I would say be careful if you're using this as a treatment. Now, there are some conditions, perhaps endometriosis or other conditions where hormonal medication is really very helpful. I mentioned endometriosis. I don't know if that's the case. But there are certain conditions, especially for women, where hormonal medications will provide a lot of relief or solutions for some of their problems temporarily. When they're not being used for birth control, and when the woman is not sexually active, then it's permissible to use these as a therapeutic treatment. Why? Because it's not being used for birth control. It's being used for a different purpose. And I say while the woman is not sexually active, because these same hormonal medications will function as abortifacients, right? They will prevent implantation. Sometimes, I mean, they try to prevent ovulation, but ovulation can still occur. Conception can still occur if the husband and wife are sexually active. And then, of course, if that woman is taking a hormonal birth control, then or an IUD, for example, then implantation will be prevented. And what we have there is an abortion, right, which is a horrible evil that that we need to avoid very seriously. So, Colleen, that's kind of those are the principles I'd give you, you know, to discern this. I think it's possible, right, that there are medications and therapies that in some cases would be not permissible when they're being used as birth control, that in other cases would be permissible. I would say be very cautious, right? And maybe don't just speak with one medical professional, but speak with there's an institution called the National Catholic Bioethics Center. You could send them an email and just say, I have this condition. My doctors have recommended this. Are there any other Catholic ethical treatments for this kind of condition? And they'll be able to provide more medical perspective than I will. So is that helpful, Colleen?
National Catholic. Yeah. Thank you. National Catholic Bioethics
National
Center.
Catholic Bioethics Center, or maybe National Center for... Yeah, it's those four words in some order, you know, something like that. So
Okay. I will reach out to them. That was very helpful. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, Colleen. Yeah, take care now. Bye-bye. We have a lot of callers here. I'll try and meet as many as I can. Let's go to Mary, who's calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hello, Father. Thank you for everything.
Sure.
Father, I have received calendars, mass cards, healing cards, and all of them, you know, I have tons of them, it seems. And then if you use them, you're supposed to send a donation. But what do you do with all those cards?
You're describing, I think, the life of many Catholics around the world, you know. People are so generous, and they'll get something like a little gift in the mail, and they'll feel, yes, because of our Catholic guilt or our Catholic upbringing or our Catholic charity, whatever the case may be, let's say, well, I better send them $10. Let me say this. You're not obliged to send, first of all, and this is not your question, right? But because we're talking about it, just sure, because an institution or a church or a religious community is soliciting donations by sending you gifts, you're not obliged, of course, to send them money, right? I mean, that was their decision to send you something. If you would like to help their cause, then certainly you're free to do so. And again, Mary, I'm not speaking to you so much as just to us in general, right? Just so that we realize that, well, just because I get a little medal in the, like a miraculous medal in the mail, I better send off a donation for them. No, they chose to send that to you, and that doesn't mean that we're obliged to support their cause. But
so,
we do,
you know, like on some of these cards, it would be nice to send that, use that as the birthday card, you know, and so I feel like that I have to cross out that part, you know, where it says that they will be remembered, and just send the card, or I just throw the card away. I have so many cards, Father. It's really, I think, when I moved down here, everyone started to give my name because I wasn't up there. I don't know, but it has really been a lot. And I do feel bad about every time I receive one. You know, I do, as you say, gift cards, wrapping paper. It's just so much.
Yeah, I know. And we have this this kind of, we're sensitive. We don't want to throw an image of our Blessed Mother into the trash, right? I mean, that just sounds so horrible to do. It's important to remember, Mary, that these things are not blessed objects, at least for the most part. I don't believe, unless they say on there, then we wouldn't presume they're blessed. It's an image of a saint or of our Blessed Mother. It's not disrespectful to recycle those, right? I mean, it's not disrespectful to dispose of them properly. If they're blessed, or if we're having pangs of conscience that we can't use them either to send them to people or as wrapping paper or whatever the case might be, you can certainly bury it. That's what we do with blessed objects. We bury them so that they decompose and we feel a little better about it that way, because we know our sensitivity to the destruction process is curtailed. I wouldn't have any qualms about using what was sent to you for good purposes, even if you're not sending those people money, right? I mean, what would be better, to just discard it and waste it, or to actually put it to some good use? I think certainly putting it to a good use. And if you didn't request the material, then you're not obliged to use it in the way that particular individual required of you. So,
I've just always wanted to know that, Father. I appreciate it.
Yeah, they pile up, don't they? I mean, you are not alone. I've seen people's boxes of cards and medals and rosaries and coins and all the things they're getting. And maybe someday, Cyrus, maybe someday. Thank you, Mary. God bless you. Take care. Maybe someday we could learn how to turn them into oysters, artificial oysters.
Hey, that's a nice callback.
Thanks. That was, even after I said it, I regretted. You're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. It's Father Matthew Spencer. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. I'll be back right after this.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code PATRICK for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
It's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick, and I'm so happy, blessed to be able to be with you today. Hey, I wanted to let you know about a very special series that Cale Clark is putting out in exploration of God in the Old Covenant with Old Covenant Controversies, an 8-episode examination of 4 key issues for today's spiritual seekers: evolution, history, violence, sexuality. Join Kale, deepen your understanding of the unusual and sometimes jarring events unfolding in the Old Testament, right? Old Covenant Controversies with Kale on The Faith Explained, 12:30 p.m. Central, and on the podcast on the Relevant Radio app. Boy, do I love Kale. He's awesome, isn't he? I mean, he's just great. So how about we go to, Sarah's telling me that we have some callers recommending that you donate the items you get in the mail to veterans, pregnancy centers, and the like. That's a good idea. I mean, I never thought about that some of those items could go to, maybe somebody else could put them to better use. We're talking about, of course, holy cards or medals or cards that have beautiful religious images on them. If you can't use them, then you don't need to. You're not obliged to treat them as if they're blessed, of course. But maybe there are people that could use them. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Eureka, California, who's been waiting for some time. Mark, welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Oh, hi, Father. Thanks for taking my call. It's no problem. It's enjoyable listening.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, and you had brought up marriage, and while I realize there's no last word on that subject, I don't think, I wanted to offer some thoughts because my, I'm sure you're familiar with the New Jerome Biblical Commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the first passages I looked up when I had it, when I had my hands on it. And the editor or writer, he suggested, Christ was referring to the Levirate marriage, as their inheritance is the Lord. There's no earthly inheritance. And I join that with, you know, many mansions in heaven. I mean, it's very, I don't see how people can say for sure what heaven's going to be like, except it's probably going to be better than we can ever expect. But anyways, what do you think?
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time following. So you're saying, when you were referring to the New Jerome Biblical Commentary, you looked up the question that the Sadducees put to Jesus that we were just talking a few minutes ago about the Levirate marriage, and you're having a hard time believe. Are you saying that you think that we will be married in heaven, or that that phrase only applies to the Levirate marriage, or?
Yeah, I was saying that heaven might be with many mansions in heaven that we might not all be in the same place, and some of us might be married, some of us might not be. It, you know, that's kind of what I've been putting together in my mind. I know rabbis were required to get married. I know they don't observe the coming of the Messiah. And as you pointed out, there are Eastern Catholics who get married. I mean, the priests get married, but I'm sure Patrick, I'm listening to the show for a while. I think Patrick would say there is only one Catholic Church. They're not a Roman Catholic. It's the Catholic Church. And he'd probably, I don't know what he'd say, but, you know, the Eastern, all I'm saying is maybe there's room for interpretation and maybe we're not all unmarried in heaven.
Well, I mean, I don't really agree. I mean, I would think that if, I think the church is quite definitive on it. I think Jesus himself was quite definitive on it. I think that passage that we talked about from the Sadducees, it's very hard, in my opinion, to conclude that, well, this is only applying to some of the brothers and not to others, because Jesus was very clear. Jesus says, no, in heaven, your relationship will be very different. You will not marry or be given in marriage. Now, I guess somebody could say, well, if you were married here on earth first, then maybe it would enter into heaven, but that just contradicts the 2,000 year tradition of the church, which we could unpack completely. I would say this though. I mean, rather than focusing on that particular that narrow kind of element, Mark, what I'd say is when we get to heaven, and I totally agree with you that we don't know what heaven will be like. You know, I mean, St. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, hasn't even dawned on us what heaven will be like." And so we don't know all the specifics of it. there are some things we know about it, right? We know that we will be in eternal bliss. We know that we will, in fact, enjoy the beatific vision and see God face to face. We know that once we do arrive in heaven, then our salvation for eternity is secured and we won't have to worry about backsliding. We know that we won't experience temptation in heaven. There are things like this that we can be quite definitive about. What I would say is that marriage will not exist in heaven, but that doesn't mean that the relationship between husband and wife here on earth is immaterial anymore, right? I would say it doesn't mean that the church says, oh, well, yeah, you're gonna love everybody in the same way without any distinction. No, I think our relationships in heaven will be perfected. So our relationships here on earth that are imperfect in marriage or in religious community or in friendships, these will reach newer heights in heaven. The problem here, I think, is this, that marriage not the problem, but to me, the real crux of the matter here is that marriage is an exclusive relationship, right? I mean, marriage here on earth is intended to be exclusive between one man and one woman for the entire life of while the couple is living. That's marriage. I mean, that is an essential part of marriage, that love is exclusive and that a husband loves his wife in a way that he will love no other woman, right? And a woman will love her husband and is called to love her husband in a way that she will love no other man. And they will give themselves to each other with generosity that they can't have for people in general. In heaven, we won't have that same exclusivity. Why is that? Because we won't need that same exclusivity. We need that here on earth because our desires are not ordered properly, because we're intended to enter into a procreative relationship for husband and wife. But in heaven, that exclusivity now will no longer exist. Does it mean that relationships won't be special? No, of course, they will be. It's just that now all can be included in them because our own passions and desires are perfected. So that's what I think, Mark. I mean, I think it's hard to claim that there will be marriage in heaven given the fact that for 2,000 years the church has been pretty clear about that, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, you bet. Thanks for calling, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity to hash it out a little bit. God bless you. How about we go to Mary, who's calling from Illinois. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, on October 26th, there was a bad accident in front of our house, a man, single car accident and single person in the vehicle, and his car flipped and landed on our property and he died. Mm-hmm. It was very traumatic.
I tried to call in
for prayer, but I could hardly talk when it happened. It was so traumatic. But should we have our house blessed or that property blessed? Or the mother came by and brought flowers, and we put some flowers there. And I've sprinkled holy water, and I've entered them into the book for the those people who have died in our parish book. But what about the property? Should it be blessed, or what would you suggest?
Yeah, what a good question, Mary. And I'm so sorry. What a terrible tragedy. We'll pray for this person who has died. We'll pray for his family. We'll pray for you. You know, that's I can only imagine how traumatic that must be. Here's what I would think. There are times when we will bless a house again or bless a property again when something very traumatic has happened, but the circumstances are usually different. It's not traumatic in the sense of it's a tragedy. It's traumatic in the sense that it's a malicious event. So if there is a murder or if there is some sacrilege that's taken place on a particular property or in a church, we will reconsecrate the church at times, or we will re-bless the house, right? I think this situation is different. You know, I wouldn't fear the reason that we do that in cases where there's malice is that those events open doors to evil, right? Those kind of events open doors to to deeper influence. And so to bless it, we want to invite the Lord again and to invite the Holy Spirit to be present, to protect from all harm and to heal from any offenses against the Lord. But I think this case is different. I mean, in this case, it is a terrible tragedy, but it was an accident, right? I mean, it wasn't an intentional death. And I would say that you can be at peace without having your property reblessed. I think what you're doing is good, right? To have flowers there to console the family as much as possible. I think to sprinkle holy water there is certainly fine. But I wouldn't treat this the same way as I would if there was some terrible crime that took place on your property, where I would probably recommend you having a priest and doing another blessing. In this case, I would say your prayers are effective, and that this is not opening doors to evil in the same way. It's simply a very unfortunate tragedy that certainly does need our prayer and support.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, his name was Kevin Shuzik, if anybody would like to pray for his soul. I'm okay. Sure his mother would be very grateful.
Yeah, well, you have the whole listenership of the Patrick Madrid Show listening right now that will certainly be praying for you and for Kevin. So, okay, God bless you, Mary. Thanks for calling.
All right, goodbye.
All right, take care. Oh, yeah, wow, that's so difficult, isn't it? That's harsh. Let's go to Sandy, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hello, Sandy, welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Good morning, Father. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. A man in our Bible study group claimed that he saw a video or an audio, he wasn't clear, of an exorcism, of an actual exorcism on YouTube. And I wanted to find out if this was possible, if the church allows videographing or taking audio of an exorcism.
That's a good question. Yeah, that's a good question. So it is kind of, it's interesting when you think about the world in which we live, where everything is on exhibition, right? I mean, people put their whole lives, all of their most, you know, intimate secret things people are putting online, down to TikTok, people sharing the silliest things that, you know, have no need to be published publicly, but people will do that. Not necessarily things that are offensive, just things that maybe violate the idea of privacy and violate the idea of a hidden life. But with that said, it's interesting that there are very few recordings of exorcisms, right? And I would say I have never seen a real authentic video of an exorcism. And I can't tell you whether that's because of any legislative background to it. I don't know if they are forbidden completely inside of exorcisms, because I'm not familiar with that particular segment of Catholic law. But I would not be surprised at all recording devices were prohibited during an exorcism. And the reason is kind of simple, Sandy. It's because we don't want to glamorize or publicize somebody's healing work, right? I mean, an exorcism is an opportunity for healing. An exorcism is an opportunity for a person to be freed, liberated from evil. And it's just inappropriate to take that moment and then publicize it. But the other reason, Sandy, is this, that most exorcisms are very different from how you'll see them portrayed in the media or in popular depictions on television or in movies. Sure, there are some exorcisms that are as dramatic as, say, the scenes in The Exorcist. In fact, many exorcists will point to that movie as a very good depiction of exorcisms, right? It's also quite common that during an exorcism, there might be very little visible demonic activity. You might not see the person manifesting or the demon manifesting itself in the same way. And it might look rather simple and rather unsurprising, when in fact, it's still having a similar effect. The person is still being freed through the sacramental of an exorcism from the effects of evil. But here's the other thing, Sandy, is that I would just be so skeptical of what I see on YouTube anyway. I mean, I remember when, the Blair Witch Project, the movie The Blair Witch Project came out. I think I was in college at the time, and it was this masterpiece of marketing is what it was. It was this movie that was made to look like it was on home video recording. The way that they publicized it was video sharing online was just starting. So they shared these little clips online. People were so freaked out by that movie. I mean, people were so shocked because they thought it was real, you know. We've become desensitized to that kind of surprise because we see things that are manufactured and made up all the time. And I think that's the, if I saw anything that's purported to be a real exorcism online, I would probably roll my eyes and say that's probably not the case. At least it's not a Catholic exorcism. On the one hand, because we don't videotape them or record them. At least to my knowledge, exorcists and their teams don't do that, except maybe under for special circumstances, which I'm not aware of. But also because it's so easy to make these things up and make them look, you know, like something else. So that's kind of my take on it, Sandy. I'd be skeptical about it, but even if it was, it wouldn't be representative necessarily of every exorcism anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much. You did answer my question and clarify it in my head. Thank you so much, Father. God bless
you. All right. God bless you too.
Patrick. Okay.
Thank you, bye. Sandy. God bless you. Take care. Yeah, very, very, we're all fascinated by exorcisms, aren't we? We're all fascinated by the spiritual battle that's happening right by us. So stay tuned. It's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick Madrid. I'll be happy to join you right after this break.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find out more information and your local Catholic Credit Union at relevantradio.com/banking.
Real life solutions you can believe in. The Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show. I cannot believe how quickly this time flies by. It's Father Matthew Spencer sitting in for Patrick, who's just taking a little break over the next few days, no doubt preparing his turkey, working with Nancy to get ready for, who knows, maybe they're going to family's house, maybe they're inviting family over to their place, but we wish them well. That's pretty good, Cyrus, that's pretty good. Is that going to be more common occurrence in the next couple of days? Do I need to steel myself against the random turkey popping up?
No comment.
Okay. Very good. We'll see what happens. Yeah, Patrick's doing just fine. And I'm very happy to be pitching in and helping out while he's off. We do have a number of phone calls. I do want to share. I promised an hour or two ago I'd share with you this story about this woman who was asking me about euthanasia, which to me turned into this really incredible kind of discussion about something else entirely. But if I don't get to that today, well, we have tomorrow, we have the next day too. First, I want to take those calls of those who have been waiting. Let's go to Eileen, who's calling from Long Island. Hello, Eileen. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show.
Yes, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I have a brother who is a member of the SSPX group, and he tells me that if there wasn't a Latin Mass in the area, wherever we are, we don't have to go to Mass, an English Mass on Sunday. And I'm saying the opposite. I said it's an obligation to go to Sunday Mass regardless. And I would like to know if, you know, is that true? I don't believe it's true. I think you should be going to Mass every Sunday. You're obligated. Yeah. Do you have an answer for that?
I do, Eileen, and I'm glad that you called to clarify this. So for those listeners who might not be aware, the Society of St. Pius X is a group of priests who split off under the leadership of Archbishop Lefebvre, who have been celebrating the Latin Mass now for several decades because of their belief that there are deficiencies in the Novus Ordo Mass, that there are problems perhaps with Vatican II as well, different issues. It's a complex, irregular situation that the popes have been trying to resolve. Benedict in particular was working hard to try and find some unification again. Here's the thing, Eileen. Catholics are required to go to Mass on Sunday. And the objection that adherents in the SSPX would say is that, well, the Novus Ordo Mass is not the same. They might say it's not as reverent, or they might say it's not giving due honor and glory to God. They might not question the legitimacy of the Mass itself, but might say that it's not going to fulfill the purposes of the Mass. I don't want to put words into the mouths of the defenders of the SSPX, but these are all arguments that I have heard over time. The problem with this is that it's a misunderstanding of the Church, and it's a misunderstanding of the Novus Ordo Mass. Are there places where the Novus Ordo Mass is celebrated poorly? Sure. Are there ways where the Novus Ordo Mass could be improved? Yes. But if we believe that Christ founded the Church, and if we believe that that Christ is working through the Church still, then we have to follow the logic from there and realize that if I'm obliged to go to Mass and there's a Mass in my area, you know, even if I don't like it, I have to go. I have to fulfill that obligation. This is a tough thing because some people will say, well, in conscience, I can't, right? And I know other people from SSPX who would tell me that, right? They'd say, well, in conscience, I could never go to a Novus Ordo Mass. And in my opinion, very charitably, I would just say, well, our consciences need to be formed to what the Church teaches, not to what how we're interpreting things, right? There are many beautiful Novus Ordo Masses. There are many beautiful, and it is the Mass of the Church. It is the Eucharist, right? It is the Mass that the Church has approved, and so it is certainly a valid Mass, and it's the ordinary form of the Mass, as Benedict XVI would call it. So, yeah, I would really counsel your brother to get to Mass. I'm sorry that he has that perspective, but in my opinion, he's placing his own preference, interpretation above what the Church teaches, and that's a very dangerous place to put yourself.
Right. He is very, I mean, I know he lives with them, and is, that's just new, and I have told him the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist is why you go to Mass. Mm-hmm. It's not, I go to a Latin Mass, I'll go to Latin, I'll go to English, it's the Mass. Mm-hmm. And reverently, and to increase your love and to have that divine intimacy within you to give you the strength and the courage to be closer to our Lord. Nothing will prevent you from going to Mass. It's still the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And don't, you know, I've tried my best, but he'll go into canon laws, he'll go back into the history of all these popes,
sure,
and all these,
yeah,
articles. I can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
And I'm older than him, and we grew up with Latin and English Masses. And you can bring all this up, and what our parents passed down to us, and he never gets it. And it's just, you know, you talked about being at peace this morning, and I'm trying my best not to lose my peace over this, because you're concerned about your family, too.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah, of course, and I'm glad you're concerned, I'm glad you're having the conversation. I'm also very familiar with that approach, you know. People will enter into very, very detailed, specific objections to, say, the reforms of the liturgy after the Vatican Council, or to the way Mass is celebrated, perhaps. They'll look historically, they'll do all of this. To me, it's It just doesn't jive with the plain reality of the church right before us, you know, and we might not experience it the way that we experience the Latin Mass, but it doesn't change the reality. As you said, the presence of Jesus is really truly there, and the celebration of the Mass is approved by the church, right? It's approved by the ultimate authority of the church here on earth. And that's important for us to respect and recognize, because otherwise we're going to become Protestant, right? Protesting something the church does and making our own church out of it. And that's puts us in a very dangerous spot. So thanks, Eileen. God bless you. Appreciate the call very much. Let's go to Anna, who's calling from Miami. Hello, Anna. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Hello, Anna, are you there?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello. Yes.
Anna, you're on the Patrick Madrid Show. You're on the air. Yeah. How can I help you?
Oh, thank you. I couldn't hear very well. I just have a question. Sure. And there's no question that I'm pro-life. I just, sometimes people will say, well, I am too. I'm pro-life. And even they bring in politics to it as well. But then they'll hit you with, well, the only thing that would really just be a deal breaker for me is rape and incest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they give you this thing, oh, what if, you know, your daughter, it happened and this and that. And how do you tell a 15-year-old girl, you know, to carry this baby to term? And I, you know, my insides just start turning because I don't know what to say. Mm. And my answer is never abortion. So I've even looked in the Bible. I just, not thoroughly enough, I guess. I don't know where to even start looking. Mm-hmm. Just so that I can, you know, peacefully have some peace of mind, first of all, and defend it somehow.
Sure. Yeah, I think this is a great question, Anna, and I'm glad that you're bringing it up. Here's where I would start with it. We can never use evil to accomplish good. Okay, this is a principle of moral theology that I think most people will intuitively get. They might not agree with it, but I think if we base the conversation from that point on with this principle, if we don't agree on that, then we're not going to be able to have more of a conversation. But if we can agree on that, in other words, you can never murder somebody in order to achieve a good. That's an example, right? So let's say you want to create the best medical procedure possible. You could save a million people, but all you have to do is murder this innocent person. One person, and millions of people afterward would be saved or healed from this. And the church would say, you can't do that. You simply can't use evil to accomplish a good. It's an innocent person, and you can't kill them to achieve an end. Another example is lying. You cannot lie in order to achieve a good. You might want to hide something from your husband because you want to keep the peace. You might want to not tell somebody about some traumatic situation that might make them become red with fury. You can't lie. You can manage the situation in a conversation that's more tender, more careful. You can withhold information in some circumstances, but you can't tell a lie, right? That's just a classic evil that is you can't do to accomplish a good. And this is always what's underlying the question about, or the objection that people have to abortion in cases of rape and incest. Many people say, well, I'm pro-life, and I'm not speaking of you, Anna. Of course, you are pro-life across the board, but the people we'll talk with will say, well, I'm pro-life, but when there's rape and incest, then I think the woman shouldn't have to suffer that. The thing for us as Catholics and for us as human beings of right reason, we would say it's the same thing. Like you can't kill a human being in order to accomplish a good. Is it easy or fair that this individual was raped and now have terrible, difficult consequences from that? No. But we don't solve that solution by compounding that with another evil. What we do is we support the person as best we can. We rally around them. We give them all the resources they need. We help with their emotional and mental health. We help them, and we also love a child that has come into the world through this terrible crime, right? The crime doesn't change the value of that little tiny human being's life. And I think that's where we have to start with it, Anna. We have to lay a groundwork and say, well, why are we opposed to abortion in all circumstances? We're opposed to it because it's the deliberate killing of an innocent person. And the deliberate killing of an innocent person is always intrinsically evil. It's always intrinsically evil. So if you put these two things together, right, that you can never do evil to accomplish good, and to kill an innocent human life is intrinsically evil, meaning it's always wrong, then you put those together and the circumstances of the conception of this child don't change whether that child has a right to life or not, period. It doesn't affect how that works out. Now, yeah, there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering that needs to be accompanied and be healed. But in my experience working with people, abortion never does that anyway. I mean, people want to claim that in cases of rape and incest that, yeah, we're going to help this person by allowing them to have an abortion. And then what? Then they're going to suffer for decades from the guilt that comes with that, right? Here at the Shrine of St. Joseph, where I work, we have a large monument of St. Joseph, patron of the unborn. We have hundreds of people that come by grieving the loss of their child, their unborn child, either through miscarriage or often through a deliberate abortion. And it's very eye-opening to see how many people are suffering from this. And an abortion will never solve the issue, no matter the circumstances of the conception. Okay, it's always a pleasure, my friends. God bless you. I'll be back again tomorrow, okay? Until then, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.